coming up in the podcast. This month I suffered from a severe case of shiny object syndrome. Experimented with selling direct with WooCommerce and WordPress after using it with the Villain book covers. And I share an update on books 3 and 4 in my series. Welcome to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary, an exclusive look at the behind-the-scenes misadventures of the 40-something mystery author. Discover how close she is to releasing her latest novel, hear exciting details about upcoming writing projects, and discover lessons she has learned along her writing journey so you don't have to make the same mistakes. You can find episode show notes and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. Hello, writers. In the April Behind the Scenes Author Diary, I mentioned that I screwed up my Amateur Sleuth mystery series. Well, a solution might be at hand. So in this episode, I discuss my plans for my James Lalonde Amateur Sleuth mystery series books 3 and 4 and a new shiny object. On top of this, I discuss a few self-publishing updates and selling direct with WooCommerce. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. Just to let you know, this episode was recorded on Monday, the 12th of June. So this show is primarily me looking back at May. The day that I'm recording this, it's quite hot in London. Well, maybe it's not too hot, but because the buildings in London, they're not built for warm weather. Like if I was living in Australia, I sort of think, and this was the temperature, I wouldn't be feeling this way. It's just the buildings are designed to retain the heat. So it feels hotter. So I've had to it's a Dyson sort of fan heater. So it's a Dyson fan heater. Obviously got on the fan setting, not the heater setting, because I'm not crazy. So it's just I've had to turn the studio lights on to record this, and I didn't want to sweat underneath the lights because I'm wearing white. I didn't want to dress up too much for the video because I'm just going to sweat and it's going to look hideous, right? There's going to be like sweat arm patches. So I thought I'm just going to wear something light that's clearly in need of an iron, and I'm just going to embrace the heat. So in order to not look really sweaty, I've turned the fan on. So it's a compromise. So I can still have the video. Hopefully, like I did a test and I was able to edit out the fan and I couldn't believe it. So I thought, well, I'll try it. So just in case that's not possible with between Final Cut Pro and Audition, hopefully you've got something that can be listened to and it's not too jarring in terms of like audio mistakes or background noise that wasn't filtered out, but you get it. That's why I look relatively disheveled on the video. I don't look particularly done up the way that I usually do, because usually I like to try and look presentable, but I'm not. I just wanted to explain that and the oscillating fan in the background. Yep, it's hot. And I've clearly been out of Australia for too long, so I can't actually handle the heat anymore. Maybe it's old age. Anyway, if you're interested in reading the transcript or would like links to anything that I've mentioned in the show, then check out the very long blog post or edited transcript at authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS054. And if you're new to this podcast, I want to say a huge thank you for stopping by and trying out my show. To those of you who've been faithfully listening, thank you for regularly listening in and supporting me. Your support means more to me than you know. Before I dive into the episode for real, I just want to say a huge thank you to a supporter who kindly donated me more than a few coffees and left me a really nice message congratulating me on my 100th episode. So thank you, Kathleen. Your support really does mean a lot to me. And yeah, your kind words definitely encouraged me to keep going. So thank you. I know the news isn't something I like to talk about on the show, mainly because I want to keep the episodes evergreen and it does age the episode, but there are a few things I wanted to talk about that I think are worth talking about, only because I've seen a lot of misinformation and people sort of talking about the sky falling, mainly on Reddit, and it's just, I really wish people wouldn't jump to conclusions. They would actually read the information that's there before going on and spreading misinformation, but here we are. So there are interesting updates with Amazon KDP, and just in case you're not familiar with it, so KDP is Kindle Direct Publishing, and you can publish obviously both ebook and print. Everyone knows that, but just in case there's somebody who's brand new to self-publishing, then that's what it stands for. So there are pricing changes that have taken place to the paperback printing on Amazon. I've seen a few people talk about this in a negative light. And the thing is other places like Ingram, Spark have been pushing updates to their paperback printing for a while now. And this is the first time Amazon have done this. So I really wish people would cut them some slack. And the price increase, it isn't too much. I've only changed the pricing in Australia because for some reason the paperback pricing in Australia has really crunched down to something relatively low, like the royalty that I get. So I've increased it there, but not necessarily in other countries. So I've kept my paperback prices the same, but I had quite a huge margin because I had to change the margin. I ended up changing the margin in KDP print because the margin was being changed in Ingram Spark and I wanted the book prices to be equal. I have been sort of updating my book prices as Ingram have been increasing the prices. So I don't feel like it's really eating into my royalties because I've already prepared for it. I don't really sell much print anyway, but I am still making a profit. But I think it's worth going. And if you haven't been doing that, increasing your prices for the paperbacks, you should go in and double check. And also double check, convert it into your currency that you're being paid into, what the profit is for you, just so you check that you're actually going to get something that's worth it. So those changes will take place on the 20th of June. When you go into your KDP dashboard, there will be a notification there letting you know. There is a button that you can press that will increase the prices for you, but it'll change it to, say, if your book was priced at $9.99, it'll increase the price to $10.24. And I hate that pricing on Amazon. It doesn't look right. So I went back, I did that to see what it would do, because I had a funny feeling it would do that. And then I changed my book prices back to the normal prices. And then I realized that I was pricing my book a bit too low in terms of me being able to get like a decent royalty from the Australia zone. So I went and changed those. But if you're not sure, Dave Chesson, who I've had on the podcast before talking about Atticus, he's from Kindlepreneur.com and he has created a helpful calculator to help you figure out what your new royalty is going to be based on the increase in the paperback printing. So what I've seen online people saying is that, you know, that Amazon have changed the royalty, and it's not the royalty that's changing. It's the cost of printing has changed. And thus, if you don't change your prices, that new cost of printing is going to eat into your royalties. Therefore, your royalty has changed, but they're not changing the royalty. It's the price of printing. And I'm wondering whether they've just kept the pricing the same for too long, and they've hit a point where they've realized we can't keep charging old prices, we have to change the printing. That's what I think has actually happened. The other exciting thing is we can now choose our own categories in the dashboard. I know this was always the case, but you could only choose two. Now you can choose three, and I think the categories seem to be expanded. So there are new categories. So in the mystery section, I noticed there is a subcategory for books with LGBTQ+ characters. So that's a good news for queer, cozy authors. The reason why I know this genre exists is I'm going to eventually interview a author who's obviously written a cozy mystery featuring a character that sits within that sort of acronym. And I sort of thought of him when I saw this, because I thought, oh great, he'll have somewhere to put his books so people can more easily find them. The other thing is there's also a category for series, but I think this is only for ebook as well as amateur sleuths. But this is available, amateur sleuths within the mystery section is available for both ebook and physical book, but the series is, for some reason, is only, the series subcategory is only available for ebook. On top of this, you can find the usual subcategories that you can actually see on Amazon. So naturally, I went through and I updated the categories for all my books, but I only have 5 books, so it didn't actually take me very long. And I think from memory, there was also a short story section in the mystery genre. So if you have noticed new categories that are in your particular genre, come on over to the Authorpreneur Podcast website and share them in the comments section. And the URL is authorpreneurpodcast.com/BTS054. I will also leave a link to the calculator created by Dave Chesson in the show notes, as well as link to the blog post. And I'll try and include information about the paperback pricing in the show notes as well. So now on to the mistakes I made with my Amateur Sleuth Mystery series. So with book where I left off, I realized that book three was no longer a mystery, that it was sort of verging on a thriller. So what I have decided to do is I'm just going to write the story that comes to me, and then I'm just going to accept that there are chapters that will probably have to be not deleted, but I'll have to not include them in the originals, in the final story. But I also need to make sure that the story that's left after I remove those chapters is in fact a complete story. So I might have to go through and maybe add in a few extra scenes, maybe. Because I don't have a definite plan, and because I'm writing into the dark, it's really hard for me to sort of give a definite sort of solution. What I think will happen is eventually, as I'm writing, I get towards the third act, I probably will start removing the chapters that I think won't actually be necessary. But I won't really know until I've written the last few words in the story, and then I can look back and sort of say, okay, these things may need to be taken out. The other thing I probably will do is I usually pay attention to what this particular beta reader does say, but I think I'm going to take what he says a little more. Sorry, I'm struggling to find the right words. Not seriously, because I do take him seriously, but to pay attention to what he says in terms of what genre he feels this book sits in, if that makes sense. I really am going to take that extremely seriously. So if he agrees with me and thinks it's more of a thriller and stuff needs to change, then I will make those changes. So maybe I'll write the story that's there and I'll start removing chapters after that beta read. Another listener of the podcast commented under my blog post for episode BTS052. I'll leave a link to that in the show notes in your favorite podcasting app and on the blog post, and said that she used the out-of-genre parts in a book that she has written as bonus content for her email list. And I thought that was a really interesting idea, that I could provide this as something. I'll obviously have to leave a spoiler, like, please, put this stuff aside until after you've read the book, because it's going to be spoilery, potentially. Because I'm showing, I don't know, there's still a bit of a mystery as to, because I've created a potential, it could be either one of these villains situation, but again, I don't particularly know. But the decision I've made is just to write the story that's there, to stop panicking about genre. At this stage, I need to stop thinking about how I'm going to market the book, which is what a genre is. The reader group who will appreciate the story, and just focus on writing and being creative and stop trying to put myself in a box. And then during that final revision before I hand it off to my beta reader and editor, I will then sort of try and fit the story into that neat category. I think doing that worrying about it beforehand is sort of giving me a bit of a straitjacket. And I don't know, I'm starting to feel the way I felt when I was outlining and I was getting stuck with the story. And I'd never experienced this when I wrote The Locked Room, because I think what I did was I just wrote the story that was there and I didn't care. I was just free and happy, and I need to sort of get back to feeling like that. And I think one of the things is when I wrote that, I knew I was writing a locked room mystery, but I didn't think about the genre. I was too busy enjoying the story that was coming out. So hopefully that makes sense. So that's my solution, to simply just write the story that's there and push it into a category later. If you've heard something in this episode that was helpful to you and you'd like to support the show, then buy me a coffee for as little as $2 at buymeacoffee.com/author. And now on to the update for book four. I mentioned in the previous episode, the previous podcast diary episode, not the bonus episode. Actually, I think I did allude to it in the bonus episode. I can't remember if I edited it out because I realized it was spoilery. In episode BTS052, I also realized that the book four in the James Lon series, which is the book after the one that I'm currently writing, which I wrote first, by the way, it's the first book I've ever written, I realized that it wasn't in two genre either. And that book is 118,000 words. So I can't believe I'm saying this. I told my husband and he thought I was nuts. As in, he was like, really? Because he has his master's and he's written his PhD. So he's well aware of what it takes to write something that's novel length. Because a PhD thesis is usually novel length and you usually publish it. You also have to defend it in front of a panel, which is something I don't have to do. But he was like, really? When I told him I was doing this, he thought I was nuts. But I'm not actually going to publish book four because for several reasons, and it's to do with the book is out of genre. It's the first book I've ever written. So half of the book I wrote in omniscient point of view, and the second half I wrote in third person limited. I didn't filter everything through the point of view character. The way I displayed the character thoughts, I used the word he thought after it all, and it was just, there's so many mistakes I've made. And I think when I did describe setting, I described everything the way that you would describe the setting for like a screenplay. That's really just so the director knows this is where the scene sets. Whether they take it too seriously, whether the director has their own vision for it is another thing. But I wrote it in that way. And there's a lot of, I think I had a few present past tense issues, like a lot of them. I've made so many mistakes in this that I think, and also I've tried to do too much in this book as well. There's three or four plot threads, which is why it's so big. And I just sort of feel like I just need to not publish it because the amount of work it's going to take for it to be what I believe to be readable, it's going to be a lot of work. And I know firsthand that rewriting something is painful. It's like pulling teeth without anesthetic. Really don't recommend that. So I'm not publishing it. At the same time, I don't feel, I'm not upset about it. I'm not too overly emotional about it because I feel very free now. I'm no longer tied into the constraints of having to take him to this place and to do these things. I can still go to the place where he needs to be, but I feel like the possibilities are endless now. I think I probably will eventually get back to this story, but I feel like I need to do a few other things. Not that I have any definite plans, but I definitely feel very free now that I'm no longer have to press publish book four, which means I'm no longer have a fourth book ready. I have to write it. So that's interesting. Also, the content isn't, I sort of feel like it's not really appropriate to this post-virus world. It does talk about a vaccine or a drug and a vaccine or it is about a pharmaceutical drug. It sort of verges on a little bit sci-fi because what I suggest is happening and this is not possible in real life. So I sort of feel like it just doesn't feel appropriate post-pandemic. That's just my natural feeling about the content of the book, in all honesty. And that's probably the biggest one, along with the having to rewrite it. Yes, I no longer feel so boxed in by the direction I have to take the James Lon Amister Sleuth mysteries. And now I feel like I have a blank slate. In light of all of that, yes, I am taking 118,000 words out of the James Lon canon. And hopefully something not more interesting, but something different will be in there. I mean, there are the natural threads, open threads that are through the first three books that I have to explore, but it should be hopefully interesting. I'm looking forward to discovering what happens with him because I don't know. I'm pantsing the series as well. Hopefully it'll be fun. Hopefully I'm not making another mistake. So while all of this sort of thinking and pondering was happening, I decided to write a cozy mystery short story as a palate cleanser. I will add that I'm not finished yet. The palate cleanser was just more so I could, you know, write this for fun while I figured out what I needed to do about my James Alon book 3 and 4 issues. So obviously I figured it out. But the cozy mystery was a sort of middle-aged amateur sleuth in the similar vein to Agatha Raisin, but she isn't going to start her own private investigator detective agency. It is just going to be a series of short stories or novellas featuring she's a middle-aged amateur sleuth. I have had to think about why she can't work and sort of put her in a situation, so I did. I definitely sort of, she's definitely, not that she's having a midlife crisis, but she's in a place where she thought her life was different to how it turned out. It's very different, and things have happened that she never intended to, and she's having to figure her life out and start again essentially at 40, or she's in her early 40s. I'm quite vague on the age, her age. So it'll be a series of short novellas. I really like writing novella length things. I've only written one short story, and I think it was a fluke. For some reason, I can't stay away from shorter works. I really love them, and I'm looking forward to finishing this. Again, it's not finished, but I need to get back to writing James Lund book 3, so I'm going to write this in between that. There is another sort of cozy mystery story that I started. I'm not sure what I want to do with that yet, because it's taken a dark turn, and I'm sort of wondering, it's not cozy anymore. Well, it may not be cozy anymore. I want to read a few more cozy mysteries before I think about what to do with that. Another exciting thing that happened in May, well, it happened in the sense that I decided and started making steps to do this. So I decided to sell direct with WooCommerce. I set up a WooCommerce store on author80hay.com. And it's set up and I've tested it, but as I was doing that, I recorded the progress of me doing that, because I thought, I'm only going to do this. Well, technically, this is the second time I've set up a WooCommerce store. The first time I set it up was on Le Villain Book Covers, but again, it is a digital product store, but it's not books. So it's similar but different. So I recorded the process of me setting up a WooCommerce store using the Divi theme on a WordPress website. And obviously WooCommerce is something you can only use with WordPress, but because I'm using the Divi theme, it looks slightly different than if you're using another theme, obviously. And it's because of the way the Divi theme is built, and it has a website builder with it, in a similar way that I think the WordPress has a builder, but I don't use the WordPress builder. I just use the Divi theme one. I was one of those people that really wanted to hold on to the old WordPress. I think I mentioned that in a previous podcast episode when they rolled it out, and it was just, I wasn't impressed, put it that way. So I'm in the process of turning this into a mini course that will sell at like a really low price. I think sort of $39 US, including taxes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have how to set up a ebook WordPress store with WooCommerce, and then I'm going to have bonus content that shows you how to style the WooCommerce store so it looks pretty, so it doesn't look like a basic WordPress store, using the Divi theme. And this is something you can only do with the Divi theme, so I'm just having that as bonus content. But the meat of how to actually set up the WooCommerce store is there. You can sort of change the colors and things with WooCommerce. I think it naturally draws on the colors that you set up with your WordPress theme. So obviously you need to be able to use WordPress to enjoy this course. So at the moment, even though I've set up the store, I'm like 75% of my way through editing the course and recording the voiceover, because I've noticed that when I was setting up the store, it took me a good 2 days to set up my store. I wasn't always great at sort of describing what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, so I'm having to go through and re-record the voiceover. So I've recorded the screen, and you can follow along basically and set up your store alongside me as I record myself setting up mine. So that's what the mini course is going to be. It's just going to be like an easy to follow, this is how you set up a WooCommerce store. So that, yeah, it took a couple of days and I tested it and it's delivering well, which is great. I haven't started pointing traffic to my store yet or my website. I haven't used a different URL. I just used the URL that I have. I haven't used like a subdomain like shop.authoradhey.com. It's just the same website. And I've had to go along and update all my book pages and stuff like that. So it's been fun. One thing I forgot to add is I will create a... If you subscribe to the Authorpreneur email, the Authorpreneur podcast email list, I will let you know when that course is live, just in case you want to check it out. So I'll leave a link to that in the description box below and in the show notes and on the blog post. So that concludes this May Author Diary episode. If you have any questions or have tips on book marketing that you would love to share with me, please come over to the blog post and share your thoughts in the comments section. In the next podcast episode, I will discuss the results of a book marketing experiment, including the stats on free downloads and sales. It's a bonus episode that I can't wait to share with you. It was a last minute decision, so it was cropping up to my birthday on the 29th of May. And I noticed that Freebooksy had a promotion running and I thought, ooh, now is a good time to test out this little theory that I've set up, well, this little experiment that I've set up that I haven't really done anything with, because I wanted to let it sit for a few months just to see if it changed anything organically. And then I saw the results and I was like, ooh, that's fascinating. So I tried to replicate it again. So in this episode, I talk about the Freebooksy experiment. I talk about the second experiment to replicate the results and what they both look like and whether I was successfully able to. Not that two things create sort of means a pattern. And I do consider the stats that I have to be quite small, let's be honest. I won't spoil it, but I can't wait to share that with you. I know I've been promising the episode on scenes and it is coming, but I really want to sort of share this first because I like sharing stats. And I think the Ask Me Anything 100th podcast episode got me in the mood to share stats, and I did share stats in that, and they kind of relate to this. So yeah, I shared my organic sales stats. They're not pretty in that episode, but this episode kind of relates to that, but in the context of what my stats look like when I do a sale. So that'll be the next episode. So that'll be another Author Diary, and it'll come up quite quickly after this, whether it's like a week or two, because I haven't recorded it. Normally I would record two episodes in a day, but because of this heat, I'm not going to be able to do that, so I'm gonna have to delay the recording until I can sit here and talk for a long time, if that makes sense. Thank you for listening, and happy reading and writing, everybody. Thank you for listening to Amelia's Behind the Scenes Author Diary. You can find the episode show notes, back catalogue episodes, and lots more information at authorpreneurpodcast.com/podcast. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'll see you in the next Behind the Scenes Author Diary episode.